Well, good afternoon, brethren. Welcome to day 13 of the Feast of Tabernacles. It kind of feels like that, though, I have to admit. I didn't think it would so much, but it actually kind of does when it's so close with the Sabbath. We got back on Wednesday night, and I know the last day was the eighth day, and the last great day was Monday. So that is a little ways away, but it still feels like the feast gathered here together. Just not the weather. And a lot of you probably were in Jamaica and Mexico. We were in Florida and had a wonderful time down there. Well, what a wonderful feast it was. It's filled with spiritually uplifting messages and fellowship and the food and drink that we were able to enjoy with our second tithe set aside. And we heard a lot about the millennium, of course. We heard a lot about what we're picturing and what we're looking forward to in the coming years and God's plan for that. And now that we're back from the feast, what if you were coming back on your way, and maybe that day, that night you're supposed to arrive, and you got a little smartphone notification? I'm on a Milford neighborhood group on Facebook that notifies me of certain things if there's interesting developments in the neighborhood. What if you got a little ping or a message that said there was a lion roaming around the neighborhood? And you're driving home, and you're thinking as you get closer and closer, did I lock the door, the front door? Did I lock the gate? How big is this lion? Is it a cub? Is it a big one? Is it a male or female? Did it get out from the zoo? Did it get shipped in from Africa and dropped in my neighborhood? What is going on with this lion? You start thinking about all these things that you have to do and things that you want to keep in mind. This actually has happened, actually, more than I realized when I started digging into it. Here's just two examples of a couple different instances where wild animals, dangerous animals, have been out roaming around the neighborhood. And I will come back around to what this has to do with the feast and coming home from the feast. But there's one example from 2016 in an L.A. neighborhood. A mountain lion, the headline, "Mountain Lion Wandered Through L.A. Neighborhood." Just a short article. But it says, a mountain lion was on the loose in the Los Angeles community on Friday. Fox 11 reported an area high school was placed on lockdown as a result. That's probably a good idea. Officials have been tracking the mountain lion through the Granada Hills area until they cornered it in front of a home. And whoever that homeowner was must have been thankful that they got there in time. The large cat was eventually tranquilized, and once the creature was subdued, officials were able to take it to a safer neighborhood. No, I'm just kidding. Safer. I wanted to see if you're listening. A safer location. So they sent it to wherever, the local zoo or whatever. Here's one other one, and before we get, as we get through this one, we can turn over to Revelation 20. This one is interesting from South Africa. Five escaped lions on the loose in Gauteng, South Africa. I'm going to read a good part of this one. It says that, let's see, skipping down the first part. At first they thought it was just one male lion on the loose, and then they found out that there were five lions. So imagine hearing the news, there's one lion roaming around, and then you hear another breaking news alert, and you're thinking, well, okay, good, they captured it. And then they say, well, we find out it's actually five lions. So these lions were running around, and it was actually, they call it, it's a pride of five lions. They were all together. And they went out searching. The officials tried to find the lions and tracked them down until 3 o'clock on Saturday morning. They couldn't find them. And then that said that they went home, the officials, to work on more equipment and to work on a new strategy. So then they kept searching for it, and there was evidently someone who actually drove their car into one of them accidentally. And in South Africa, this is probably more of a common occurrence than here. But so they didn't know where the lions came from. And then at the end of the article here, it's kind of funny. They hadn't gotten the lions yet, but they were working out the logistics of the zoo enclosure, where we're going to keep them. And they have this point here that it's not a significant impact on the logistics of the zoo, but they haven't even caught them yet. So the very last part of the article says, the community members in the area, especially those on farms, were still cautioned to be vigilant and to take precautions such as keeping their pets and young children inside after dark. So they cautioned vigilance. Be vigilant. So what does this have to do with coming back from the feast? Well, Revelation 20, now that we're over to Revelation 20, and we're going to look at verse 7. We're not going to stay a long time here, but what happens after the feast? I was thinking about what is the next thing after the Feast of Tabernacles. The picture is the millennium. Should say, what happens after the millennium? So the feast pictures the millennium. And what happens after the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ, is over? Well, it says here in Revelation 20, verse 7, we'll just jump into the context here. Verse 7 says, "And when the thousand years are expired or done, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." Verse 8, "And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth." So after the thousand years, Satan is loosed. And I'm sure we heard about this at least to some degree at the feast. So Satan is loosed. And we're not going to get into all the different reasons behind that, but as part of God's master plan, after the thousand years, Satan is allowed to hold a certain influence again and roam around and cause his trouble. We know it's not going to be for that long before God intervenes again. It just got me thinking about what are we supposed to focus on after the feast, now that the feast is over. So Revelation 20, verse 7, talks about Satan being loosed. Now for the main scripture here for us to think about, let's go over to 1 Peter. I'm sure some of you are thinking, probably all of you or most of you are thinking about this already. 1 Peter 5. So Satan is compared to a lion here in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. So if the feast pictures the millennium, now that we're home, we have to remember that Satan is loosed still. We're coming back from this beautiful setting, this very much kind of a bubble. Oftentimes, we're the only ones. I heard in Mexico, I think it was, that we were the only ones there at the resort. So very secluded from those around the world around us. And we're able to focus on God's word and the Bible. But now that we're home, Satan is going to be back at it again. When we're surrounded by the pulls of this world, he's still on the prowl. So let's focus on one way God tells us to guard against Satan. So one way God tells us to guard against Satan. And in 1 Peter 5, it tells us here. Let's pick up in verse 7. It says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." This is the King James Version. And verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil," Satan, "as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour." So from a spiritual point of view, this is not even really a hypothetical anymore with the lion roaming around our neighborhood. It's actually true. That's what the Bible is saying. Satan is loose, and he is on the prowl, and he's targeting us. He's trying to find ways to get into through the chinks in our armor. But it tells us here at the beginning of verse 8 what to do about it. We're just going to focus today on just the word vigilant. Because go back to, again, if you actually did hear that there was a lion roaming around your neighborhood. I mean, I have young kids, and when they first, if they heard that, they might think that it was exciting at first. And then maybe as the reality kind of came into their understanding a little more, at least with my oldest, who will be 4 in December, there'd probably be some scared feelings as he understood a little more of the reality. But for us, we would think about all the things that we need to do. We would be vigilant, wouldn't we? We would think about locking our doors and going to Lowe's right away, getting a really strong deadbolt or whatever if we didn't have one, and locking our door tighter. So we would take certain steps. So spiritually, we have to do the same thing. Now that we're back from the feast, we can take all the things that we've heard and we can think about breaking it down in terms of our everyday lives and how can you and I really focus on making progress against Satan when he's such a powerful being looking to do everything that he can to influence us. We have to guard our minds. We have to guard our hearts. We have to be careful at all times what we're letting into our minds, what we're thinking about. And the kind of, I've thought a lot about the inputs that are coming in. It's such an age of inputs. It's the information age, and there's all these things coming in all the time, whether it's notifications or advertising messages or Facebook or social media, and then our job and our family and all the things that are coming into our lives. We just really don't have that much time to sit down and think about the things that sometimes we should think about. We just are kind of buffeted all the time with things. And Satan can use that to his advantage to really take hold of us in certain ways. So we have to be vigilant. We have to think about guarding ourselves from Satan when he's roaming around our spiritual neighborhood, trying to find ways to get to us. And I've thought a lot about, I've heard certain studies about the morning too, and this is something that I've thought about, and maybe it's helpful for you, but I've heard that in the morning, the first interaction you have can set the tone for your whole day. And if we're trying to guard against negative thoughts or negative feelings or maybe wrong attitudes or temptations, if we can really get ourselves on track in the mornings oftentimes and set our minds on the things above, as it says, then we can oftentimes set the course of our whole day. And I don't do that perfectly, but I've thought a lot about it, and I've thought about that morning. I've just read that first interaction, whether it's with your spouse or with your, maybe it's when you just first get into work with the first coworker you see, if you're just going straight into work, then that often will set the tone for your day. So that's just one small thing that we can think about as far as being vigilant against some of the negativity that's out there. So we heard a lot at the feast about the amazing picture of the millennium. The sobering aspect now that we're back is that Satan is out there. He's on the prowl. And the Greek word, just as we close here for vigilant, has an indication that to keep awake, to watch. So you're watching almost, you know, going back to the spiritual analogy, you're watching all night. If that lion is out there, you know, it doesn't really apply. We don't stay up all night trying to stop Satan from, you know, we need to sleep. But you're watching, you're staying alert for all the things that Satan can be throwing at you throughout the day and then at night. So what are we going to do with the days ahead of us, with the days ahead of us after we're back from the feast? What kind of checks and balances are we going to put into our lives for against Satan's prowling? And how awake are we throughout the day to make sure that Satan doesn't catch us off guard? Prowling around, it says, as a lion. Revelation shows us after the millennium, Satan is loosed. Now that the feast is over, let's remember to stay vigilant and watchful to lessen his influence on us this coming year.